I got a note from Burlton this morning. Burlton and Becky are taking care of our missionaries, our missionary board and so forth, and Todd and Barbara Charles will be with us on May the 30th, so be looking forward to that. That's another month away. They'll be coming to share with us on their work at Camp Palatanga, did I say that right? In Ecuador, South America. They've been there since 2019. Most of you probably remember the day that they came here before they left. Came and shared that they both were school teachers and decided that God had called them to the mission field, so they quit teaching and went to Ecuador to be missionaries. So that's one of the missionaries that we're supporting there in Ecuador. And so be looking forward to sharing the day with them again. I think the last time they were here, I was somewhere else for the Gideons. I missed them the last time they were here, so I'm really excited about seeing Todd and Barbara again. I've entitled our lesson today, The Heart of a Child. I was going to have the children come up before they left and decided not to, but it's as I've been doing my dailies, I've just been noticing in all the Gospels that there's scripture that talks about unless we become like little children, we can't even enter the kingdom of God. And I thought, well, what does that mean? What does that really entail? How do we, as adults, I'm 68 years old, how do I become like a little child? So those are some of the things that we're going to be looking at this morning from the Word. Let's go to the Father in prayer. Lord, we come today in the name of Jesus. I ask, Lord, that you'll have your way today again. Father, that I'll not get in your way, but that I'll allow you to move and do what you want to do in the body of Christ today. Father, just let me be your voice. And then, Lord, let us be your hands and feet as we carry the message to the world. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to begin today in Matthew chapter 18. This is where the disciples, they were arguing about who was going to be the greatest in the kingdom, and so they came and asked Jesus, so he told them. Verse 18, we're going to begin in verse 1. Probably, yes, I'm going to read down through 9 and then we'll move on from there. 18:1. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus and asked, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Imagine even wondering that. But they were wondering, who's going to be the greatest when we get to heaven, when we're in the kingdom of heaven, who's going to be the greatest? He called a little child, had him stand among them, and he said, I tell you the truth, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. So after I read that verse, I got to wonder, well, what in the world characteristics do the child have that we don't have? What makes them peculiar to being the greatest in God's kingdom and to us not even being able to get there unless we become like a child? And so, verse 4, he says, therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So that gave me a clue to one of the characteristics. They're humble. Most little children don't try to put themselves above everybody else. They're just, as little children, they're pretty humble. Some of them we have to make them humble, but usually they can become that way. Part of their training. Whoever welcomes a little child like this in my name welcomes me. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be dropped in the depths of the sea. That's pretty drastic, isn't it? I don't know if any of you realize what a millstone is, but millstones, and I've seen some of them sitting out in yards recently. I never was in an old grist mill where they ground corn with, but these are big, big round stones that were flattened out, and they put one on top of the other one, and they put the corn in underneath, and it grinds up the corn. We have mills or grinders to grind it up now. I mean, that's the way they ground or ground corn into cornmeal and wheat into flour. But they probably weigh, any idea how much they weigh, Matt? 500-600 pounds, I suppose. They're pretty big. They're just, they're large stones that are flattened out to grind wheat and all kinds of grain. So if you had a millstone hooked around your neck, there's no way you're coming back up to the top of the sea. It means that you're dead. So. But he said he would be better off if you were dead than to interfere.
Yes,
they do. Kind of like getting your hand cut off if you're stealing, right, Barb? Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and to be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. So, there's a lot of stuff here that talks about hindering or making a child stumble, being a stumbling block to a child, causing them to sin. We're not to do that. We're to be an example to our children. We're to make a difference in their life, a good difference. Now let's go over to Matthew 19. And this, I'm going to begin in verse 13. My title here, it says, The Little Children and Jesus. And I noticed that three of the Gospels have this almost the exact wording. And you can look at all three of them. I'll give you all three references. I'm not going to read all three because they say the same thing. But Matthew 19:13, Mark 10:13, and then Luke 18:15 all have this same scenario. It says, Then little children were brought to Jesus for him to place his hands on them and pray for them, but the disciples rebuked those who brought them. Jesus said, Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. When he had placed his hands on them, he went on from there. So each one of the gospel writers here says it a little bit differently, but the same thing. Children were important to Jesus, and he was very adamant that unless we become like little children, we can't see the kingdom of heaven. So, as I begin to look at the characteristics of children then, the first one I wrote down was humility. And that one I found in Matthew 18, verse 4, and that was the one I just read a little bit ago. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And maybe you hadn't thought about it before, about the humility of a child, how they... But a child looks up to their parents. They trust them. They don't have any reason not to yet. Normally, like Barb said, some of them need to learn that. Some parents need to learn that the children are looking up to them and have to be an example. But there's just, when you think about a child, what a great example to us to pattern our lives after. Second thing I found was spiritual receptiveness. You have to be receptive to what the Spirit wants. You have to be receptive spiritually to accept the Lord Jesus and to just what he says. Let's go to Luke chapter 10 for this one. Luke chapter 10, and you know what, before we go there, there's one in Matthew 13. Let's check it before we go back to Luke. Matthew 13, 23. The one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. So spiritual receptiveness is like putting a seed in the ground and then it grows and becomes a lot of seeds. Hearing the word of God and receiving what you hear, putting it to your life and making it grow, making it work in your life, making a difference in your life. And then Luke chapter 10, 38. And this is the story of Mary and Martha. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. I'm going to stop there. I want you to understand that word listening to what he said. When any time I hear that word, there's a thing on YouTube that I don't know whether Jamie showed it to us or who did it, but it's a little boy talking to his mom, and for some reason he calls her Linda, and he said, "Listen, Linda, listen, listen, listen." He was trying to tell her something. She wasn't paying attention to what he was trying to say, and so he just kept saying, "Listen, Linda." And it's, if you watch it, it's just, it'll crack you up. It's pretty funny. But we have to learn to listen when the Father speaks. We have to learn to hear his voice and to listen and do something about it. That's one of the reasons I love getting into the Word every day, because the time I've spent in the Word has drawn me a lot closer to the Father. And when I joined the Gideons back in 1990, I believe it was, one of the things that they required us to do is read through the whole scripture, the whole Bible in a year. So I began to do that. And what a difference it makes to spend that time with the Lord every day and to listen to what he said. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us in dreams. How many of you, I don't remember my dreams very often. Once in a while I do, but the Lord speaks in dreams. He speaks through the Word. Do we still have prophets today? Okay. He speaks through prophets. There's a lot of different ways that he speaks to us. I had a friend who, when he was younger, used to like to go to the lake and fish on Sunday, so he always said that he goes to the Church of the Open Lake. some people say, and in the Word it says that nature speaks to us. So He speaks to us through nature. How many of you think of the Father when you're in a thunderstorm? Or a hailstorm? You know, that, when you read the Word, it talks about that He does those things. He brings all those kinds of nature to us, all the different ways that... And so He speaks to us through a lot of different channels. We have to learn to listen. We have to learn to hear Him. And understand that He's speaking to us that way. And then in 1 Thessalonians 2, chapter 13, or verse 13, find my Thessalonians in here. Just before Timothy. Thessalonians 2:17 or 13, excuse me. We also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe. So this is a verse that talks about the word of God, or the Bible being God's word, that we should listen to it when He speaks to us through it, because it is His very word. It's the word that God spoke to prophets and men of old to write down so that we have something to pattern our lives after, to grow from. So spiritual receptivity is listening to the Father, listening to God's Word. The third thing I wrote down was simplicity. Children are pretty simple. They're not very complex yet when they're small. Things are pretty simple for them, and they need to be for us. Let's go to Romans chapter 19 for this one. Nope, Romans 16:19. I got the verse before the chapter. Verse 19 begins with, says, everyone who has heard about your obedience, so I am full of joy over you, but I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. And I, every time I hear this verse, I think of the Bible school that we had that used that verse the one year where the kids were up here singing that. I want you to be wise about what is good and innocent about what is evil. And that always reminds me of the kids during Bible school. But to a child, they learn pretty quickly what's good and what's evil. And it's pretty simple for them to understand which is which. And that's where we have to be as well, in understanding that. In Psalms 116, if you go back into the Old Testament with me to Psalms, we're going to look at a couple different Psalms. Psalms 116, 5 and 6 says, the Lord is gracious and righteous. Our God is full of compassion. The Lord protects the simple-hearted. When I was in great need, He saved me. So the Lord protects the simple-hearted. He looks after us. We have a lot of different verses that are promises about how He'll take care of us. And then over in Psalms 119, verse 130, says, "The unfolding of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple." The unfolding of God's word gives light. It brings us light. It brings us stability. There's just a lot of words, or graphic words, that we could use to understand listening to God's word and hearing it. And it gives understanding to the simple. He wants us to be childlike, and that we're pretty simple. Take his word for what it is and not try to complicate it. Take it for what it says. The fourth thing that I found is that children are teachable. Remember your children when they were really small? It was easy to teach them something. They picked it up pretty quick. And in Luke chapter 11, this is where the disciples ask Jesus to teach them how to pray. Luke 11, let's begin in verse 1 of Luke 11. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory forever.'" It's a pretty simple prayer, isn't it? It doesn't go into a three-page prayer here. When he's teaching the disciples to pray, it's pretty simple, isn't it? He teaches us to go to the Father with respect and reverence. Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Hallelujah. But when he taught his disciples to pray, it was pretty simple. It was a simple prayer, but yet it covered everything that we need in our daily lives. It covered it all in this simple few paragraphs. So he teaches, he wants us to be teachable. Disciples came in it. Another time I thought about Philip and the eunuch. Let's go to Acts. Let's just look at that. He was there. On the road in his cart, and was had the scriptures open, but he wasn't understanding what he was reading. And so Philip, let's see Acts chapter 8, beginning at verse 26. "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship. On his way home, he was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet." So another thing you have to think about here is Philip paid attention. The angel of the Lord, or the Holy Spirit, or whatever it was, told him, "You need to go this place." How many of you leave allowance for that in your daily walk? In the things that you're doing, do you allow time for when God tells you to stop, turn around, and go this way? Do you do it? Do pay attention to what he says to you each day as you're working, as you're doing your jobs and going through life. There are certain people that he puts into our way so that we can minister to them, so that he can minister to them through us. So we need to pay attention to that voice in our head, or maybe an angel comes to you and tells you in person this is what you need to do. We have to pay attention to what God's telling us each day as we go. If he had not paid attention to that, we would not have this particular case here in the Word of God to follow as an example. But he did. When the angel told him to go south, he did. He started out on his way. That's when he met the Ethiopian. He didn't tell him what he was going to do. He told him to go this way. It's kind of like when God told Abraham to go to a place I will show you. Abraham got up and started moving in that direction. He listened to what God was saying. And it's kind of like we need to do when he tells us to do something. We need to move in the direction that he tells us to go, so that when we get to where he wants us to be, we'll be able to do what he's prepared us to do. So he went down and met this guy on the road there. And the Spirit told Philip, go to that chariot and stay near it. He didn't tell him to just go and get in it, but he told him to go stay near it. Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. Do you understand what you're reading? Philip asked. How can I, he said, unless someone explains it to me. So he invited Philip to come up in and sit with him in the chariot, and the eunuch was reading this passage of Scripture. He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and a lamb, as a lamb before a shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth. And then the eunuch asked Philip, tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else? Then Philip began with that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. And as you all know, then the eunuch accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior that day. Philip was able to lead him to the Lord because of the Scripture that he was reading. We have to be teachable. We have to be able to learn and want to learn. And the fifth thing that I wrote is childlike faith. When I think of faith and think of my faith growing, I think of if you tell a child something as a parent, they don't have any reason to not believe you. So they do believe you. They understand that as a child, that when you say something, that's what you mean, and you'll do it that way. So as we go to the Father, we can expect that he'll do what he says he's going to. Because we can come with that childlike faith. He doesn't let us down. He's always trustworthy. And I suppose that sometimes as parents, we were not always that way. To our little children, they believed that we always would be. So I think of that as a childlike faith. Hebrews chapter 11. It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. So we have to have that childlike faith. There's a lot of different verses, a lot of different places you can go to talk about faith. If you go right on and read in chapter 11 there of Hebrews, it talks about all of the old men and women of the Bible who had faith, who believed God, and who did what he told them to do, and And we can use example after example of that. I'm not going to go into all that. But as you think about and as you pattern your lives after your children, after little children, think about these five things. First of all, we need to be humble. We need to walk in humility. The Word talks over and over again about not thinking of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but be humble. And it just over and over it talks about that. So humility is the first thing. Second thing is being receptive spiritually to what the Word says, to what God tells us. The third thing is be simple. For some of us, that's not really too hard because we are pretty simple. The fourth thing is being teachable. And then the fifth thing, we have to have faith. We have to walk in faith. We have a little thing there in our dining room that it's a parent's prayer, and I wanted to share that with you this morning before I close, if I can figure out how to get it here so I can read it, and I did. It's called a parent's prayer. It says, Lord, my children are a blessing. They're priceless gifts from you. This parent needs your power in all I say and do. Supply me love and patience to train them day by day. And grant me godly wisdom to guide them in life's way. Please help me be a parent on which they can depend, a kind and gentle leader, a faithful, loving friend. As a Christian parent, help me to do the best I can, then place each precious child in your strong, unfailing hand. This is something that's been very precious to Patsy and I. There's a picture with it there in the dining room. It's a picture of a big hand with a little child laying right in it. And we actually had to do that with both of our children. We gave them to the Lord when they were little, but as they became teenagers and started to walk away from the Lord, we kind of tried to do it ourselves, and we figured we knew how to raise them by then. But both of our children walked away from the Lord in their teen years and weren't serving Him wholeheartedly. And so we finally got the place where we went, and shared some time with a widow lady from our church that had raised her children, and she made us aware that it wasn't our fault that they weren't walking with the Lord. We thought it was. We were blaming ourselves, and we were just heartbroken because we wanted them to walk with the Lord. And so she said, what you need to do, she said, give them to the Lord and don't take them back. Let Him have them. We prayed one of the hardest prayers we ever prayed. We said, Lord, they're yours. Do whatever it takes to bring them to the kingdom. And I knew that could be pretty serious because I had been through some hard times as a teenager and almost lost my life. I wasn't walking with the Lord, but I told Him during that time, if you'll spare my life, I'll serve you. So I knew it could get pretty drastic, maybe. But it was just shortly after that. I don't remember how many weeks. It wasn't very long, was it, Pat? That he brought them both back to walking with Him and serving Him. Hallelujah. He knows how to do that better than we do as parents, even. So thank the Lord. But remember, as you're training your children, as you're walking and loving them and doing that, just remember that they're looking up to you. You're training them for life. You're training your children for life, to a life with Jesus Christ. So it's an important thing to be a parent, but we have to become like them to even enter into the kingdom of God. So as you look at your children, pick out some of the characteristics that you see there and try to be like them as you walk with the Lord. As we come to the close today and they come to sing us the final song, if any of you have prayer needs this morning, I'll be up here. If anybody else would like to come and share that time in praying with others, you are welcome to do that. I don't have any other elders here this morning. I looked around and saw there wasn't anybody else. I asked Neil if he wanted to be an elder this morning. So if any of you would like to share in that time in praying for others, well, you're welcome to do that this morning. It's not something that has to be an elder. Any of you can pray for one another, so that's something I want you to be aware of. So if any of you have a prayer need, why come and pray for you this morning?